Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. It's been an eventful year, to say the least, and it's getting closer to the season of giving. And what's a better way to show your love for friends and family than a tale they can dive into this winter? Books are a way we can connect with our loved ones, regardless of the distance between us. It's also a chance to step away from the screens that have now invaded the majority of our lives throughout this year and reconnect with a lasting form of entertainment. Boswell Book Company's Daniel Golden spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel about just a few of his favorites.
We're coming up on the giving season, and one of my favorite gifts to both give and receive are books. So what are some of your recommendations for this season?
Well, we have a lot of, you know, we have a good amount of books, fortunately, that people keep publishing them. One of our big sellers this year is a book called Thinking Inside the Box by Adrian Raffel, because it's about the world of crossword puzzling. And so it turns out that a lot of people know if somebody does crossword puzzles. So that book is basically, I really enjoyed the book, but it definitely sells itself. A lot of people want escapism, so they're looking for, you know, fantasy or romance, or in terms of thrillers. There's a book called The Coyotes of Carthage that I really love, that I've actually talked about a bit. He lives in Madison. He's a political operative who's sent to South Carolina to basically throw an election so that they can unlock the mining rights in the town. And he's a Black man going into the very white town, so he has to have some boots on the ground, and he finds this evangelical Christian couple to sort of do his work, but they're kind of going their own way. And he's got a lot of also personal problems that he's dealing with. His girlfriend's left him. And so, and it reads almost like espionage. It's all in his head. Language is great. This guy, his name is Stephen Wright. He actually teaches both creative writing and law at University of Wisconsin. So I'm a big fan of that. So one book that's in a lot of top tens this year, this is a book called Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell. And like I said, it's on two of the major top tens of the year and won a major prize. And it is imagines the life of Shakespeare's family. And one of the interesting things about Shakespeare is that he lived through, to give it a parallel today, he lived through the plague. And but the plague is never mentioned in any of his plays. But his son died of the plague, and his son's name was Hamnet. And interestingly enough, Hamnet sounds a lot like Hamlet. And in fact, in Old English, it's the same name. So it's about Hamlet. Shakespeare himself is like a side character. It's about his wife and his two kids, both at the beginning of their marriage and also as the son has died. A beautiful book recommended to me by Jane Hamilton originally, the writer in Rochester. Just the kind of historical fiction where they're not just retelling history, they're trying to fill in the margins.
Yeah, it's probably not very common for Shakespeare to get a side role when talking about Shakespeare. So that's really interesting. What are some of the other, you know, books that reached the top of the charts this year or that you know people are really going to be gravitating towards?
The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett was top 10 of the year in Washington Post, and I think number one fiction book of the year for Time Magazine, number one bestseller, followed up her first novel, The Mothers, which a lot of us liked. She actually came to Milwaukee, that was really fun. Nobody comes to Milwaukee now, but you know how that is. This book just came out at the right time in June and exploded. And it's the rare book that's incredibly well-written. She's from the University of Michigan writing program, but also is a page turner. And it's about two sisters who are very light-skinned Black women. They grew up in a small town that eschews, is very colorist. Like, the town is almost all Black, but there's definitely a preference for the lighter-skinned, which is definitely a sort of maybe making social commentary on that. So these two girls grow up, and one of them leaves. And it turns out that she is passing for white. And the other woman marries, basically runs off too, but she marries the darkest man she can find. Divorces, comes back to town. And what happens, just really, like I said, so compelling and page turning, but also hitting best book of the year list.
It's been a challenging year for most businesses, including places where community is built, such as a bookstore, for one. How has the publishing world responded to this eventful world we've been living in? Are there many pandemic-themed books vying for attention on your shelves?
No. It takes a long time to get books published. We actually had, you know, there have been books about old pandemics and the flu. John Barry, I think. I mean, this is kind of weird because after Katrina, I remember his book about the Mississippi River flood became a huge bestseller, and now his book about the flu became a bestseller. There are a few. There are definitely, but it takes a long time. Publishers are very worried about how long something will last. I mean, interestingly enough, with politics, they often don't seem to care. But with general nonfiction, and especially with fiction, they get very worried. I've had a lot of authors talk about, some authors stopped writing, and some authors can't stop writing in the pandemic, but a lot of them are struggling to figure out whether how they're going to incorporate the pandemic into their work. And when this is over, will people still want to read about it or not? You know, it's similar. I remember this with 9/11. It wound up being in a lot of books.
Let's talk about some of the best books for escapism this year. What are the best books for people to just get away from everything that's going on and dive into a different world or story?
But one book that actually three of my booksellers put in their top five is this book called They Convinced Me to Read It Too. It's called Hench by Natalie Zena Walschatz. And it is definitely escapism, though, interestingly enough, it still sort of touches on contemporary issues. It's about a young woman who works for a temp agency that supports supervillains. And she first goes to work for a very bad supervillain. But I don't mean bad like he's evil. I mean bad like he's a little incompetent. And she gets caught up in one of those rescue missions and is basically, while she's not doing any particular evil herself, she supports staff. She winds up in a hospital from collateral damage. And she starts this, she's a database manager by trade. Because, you know, you need office help. And she realizes, she starts doing these studies that show that actually supervillains cause less damage than superheroes. But superheroes are backed up by local government and police force, and so their destruction is acceptable destruction and destruction for the public good. So she winds up joining up with a much better villain, and by better, I don't mean less evil, but he runs an enlightened workplace and helps him kind of do some heavy conquering. So it's very much, you know, like it is sort of a look at policing and, you know, and what we think of as good and what we think of as bad. And the author has definitely has a lot of interesting to say mixed in with all this action. As somebody who read a lot of comics when I was young and a staff that still reads a lot of graphic stuff, it's gone over very, very big with a lot of my staff.
That sounds like so much fun. If you read a lot of books, if you're interested in comic books, or if you watch those kinds of movies, I know it's a conversation that I've always had with friends of mine after watching it, like, gosh, you think about all that destruction that hero caused. It's just one of those things that has been in conversation, and to actually see that those themes come into a book is really cool.
Yeah, I think this book is for you. And you don't want to talk to her. She's in, we host, Jason and I got to speak to her, and because we just chased it, you know, they weren't touring her, and, you know, virtually touring her. We just said, please, 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 please. And they said, okay. We had a great time. And she's super interesting. On the kids' side, there's a book that I just love, love, love so much called Skunk and Badger. This is Amy's pick for the year, our kids' fire. It's an early chapter book, so it's like 7 to 10, but it's ridiculous that there's an upper limit on this, because I could be 90 and still loving this book. Skunk and Badger are friends, or not friends. Badger does very important work with rocks. As you can, he is a rock categorizer, And he's been given this ability to live in this townhome by his aunt. One day there's a knock on the door and Skunk arrives, who's also been given permission to live here. But this is ridiculous because Badger has taken up the whole townhouse. Every square inch of space has a purpose. There's a lot of boxes being stored, and this is and on top of that, Skunk is so messy. And so there's an odd couple element. Skunk also has a Badger's a loner, but Skunk has a lot of friends, and his friends are all chickens. And the chickens are just invade the space. They're crazy. All kinds of chickens, every breed. And so they're going to have to learn to give, they kind of get along in a way, but then they have a big fight and they learn to live together. What Amy Chamberlake is from Wisconsin. She lives in Chicago now. She wanted to write a book like Winnie the Pooh. And on top of that, she has the amazing illustrator, John Klassen, who wrote the I Want My Hat Back books, which are just spectacular. And she really captured it. Frog and Toad reminds me a little, all those great friendship stories. And it reads aloud well. My friend was shopping at the store today, and she got it for her daughter, and she said, I don't want to read that book. And so they read it. Oh, let's just read a couple of books. And then later on, she's like, when are we reading that book again? So love this book.
And what is a new series you're recommending to get others hooked on this holiday season?
I'm very excited about our local thriller writer, Nick Petrie. He's now on, I think, book number 1, 2, 3, 4. It's either 5 or 6. But what's exciting, the book's coming right after Christmas. He never gets to Christmas because they always put him out paperback before Christmas. But he's his new book's set in Milwaukee, and The Drifter was his first book, and that was set in Milwaukee. But the new book, The Breaker, is way more Milwaukee-ish. I mean, there's lots of detail all over the place. And so it was a lot of fun. And it plays on the old thing about Milwaukee being the machine shop of the world. So some pretty killer machines come out of it. So I'm really excited about that. Right now, the huge series book in science fiction or fantasy is Brandon Sanderson's new book, which we sell him really well. We have a bookseller and staff who's completely obsessed, but the new book just exploded. We triple the sales. In terms of, one of the things about series is you don't really know it's a series everyone's gonna read until sometimes book 2 or book 3. And sometimes you don't even know it's a series in book 1. That's something that we're always learning. I'm guessing Hench, I'm pretty sure Hench is going to have a sequel if it sells well enough. Just like Ready Player One, Ready Player Two, that came out much later. I know Murder at the Mina House already has a sequel because it's already planning our launch for it. and in terms of the kids' world, there's going to be 3 Skunk and Badger books. I'm not a big series person, but I bow to the fact that there are a lot of series people. Are you a series person?
I'm not always. I think I can't count the amount of times where I've read a book and then I come back 5 years later and find out there's 5 more books and that it is a series. That happens to me all the time. So it's off and on. I think that my tastes have changed to where I really gravitate towards nonfiction a lot more now than I used to, where I just used to gorge myself on young adult novels all the time. And I would just read them like they were candy. It's this constant.
One of the secrets of publishing is if you have a potential series in your head that you're writing, usually the first book does not end on a cliffhanger. The first book is self-contained because you don't know if there's going to be more. If the first book works, then you're much more likely to see the second book and going forward end on cliffhangers because they know it's going to keep going. That's why you're like, that was a series, because they actually try to write first books both ways.
That makes a lot of sense. And what are you suggesting, speaking of my gorging myself on young adult novels, what are you suggesting for the person who really enjoys those young adult novels and can't get enough of them?
We have a lot of young adult readers and we have a lot of recommendations. I actually do have this one adult book that I think crosses over. Actually, I have two I have more than two, but I have two, like one kind of has a fantasy element and one's contemporary, and they both cross over to high school, I think, really well, and certainly college. So the realistic one is called Everywhere You Don't Belong by Gabriel Bump, a book that came out last February. It's set in Chicago, in the south side of Chicago, and it's about this high school student who's kind of caught between the gangs and some police violence. But it's got this, you know, he's got this friend. Is she a friend? Is she a girlfriend? Who winds up moving in with her family when they can't live, you know, when they lose, they have some financial issues. It's got this Thelma and Louise-ish kind-ness to it at the end. Because he tries to outrun the problems in Chicago by going to his campus school, state campus school in the small town. In the escapist side, I just love, as I think it's actually our book that had more like staff recs than anyone else. It didn't make as many top fives. It's called a book called We Ride Upon Sticks by Quan Berry. It is set in 1989 in outside of Salem, Massachusetts, in Danvers, which was actually a part of Salem. And it's about the girls' field hockey team in high school. And they're not doing very well. And they decide to inscribe a book of witchcraft to see if they can start winning games. And each chapter is a different focus of a protagonist and captures a different issue. And it's also a different match. And I just enjoyed it so much.
Daniel Golden is the proprietor of Milwaukee's Boswell Book Company. He joined Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel for our annual Boswell Books to Give segment, and you can find his entire list of book-giving suggestions, including some that didn't make it on the air, at wuwm.com.